Good morning. I think next time I get invited up here, but maybe if I say this, they won't invite. Anyway, I like kind of want to have a fake award up here so I can pretend, you know, like I'm winning some prize, like the Emmy or, you know. Okay. Good morning. I'm going to start the morning just sharing a fun fact about me is for most of my adult to, you know, early 30s, I swore I would never, ever, ever, ever do any kind of youth work. You guys laugh because you know what I'm going to say. Is because then I found myself in the midst of hanging out with youth. And I wanted to share that because they're all, a bunch of them are here, over there. Like, look over there, wave at the youth. Look at them. Aren't they so cute? And they're so fun. So if anyone feels like a, ooh, wait, what might God be doing? We are always looking for youth volunteers to hang out with our youth and do fun things with the youth. So that's my little plug this morning. Okay. Every fall season, our church community is invited to participate in an activity together to help us grow, to help us learn more about God, experience Him, and to get deeper connection with each other. So some years we read a book together, sometimes we gather and do scripture study, and sometimes we practice spiritual disciplines like fasting, prayer, journaling. So this fall, we have been invited to pray the prayer of St. Francis every day. Now, when I first read about this fall challenge in the River Rundown newsletter, I thought, wow, this sounds great. It's so accessible, and it sounds really easy. You know, we can incorporate it into our family rhythm. Like, can it get any easier than reading something that someone else has written? So I went home, I printed it out, and I stuck it on our bathroom mirrors. And I was like, fall challenge in the Carrera Chong household, check. And I was feeling really good, you know, until the next morning when I woke up and saw it on the mirror. Okay, here's the prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is hope, despair. Where there is sadness, joy. Oh, I missed mine. Where there is darkness, light. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. So as I read these words that morning, I felt a tightening in my whole body, which is ironic because the prayer is a prayer of peace. But instead of peace, I felt resistance and frustration. And you know that feeling when you just want to fight? That's the feeling I had. And that's when I realized this daily prayer wasn't going to be as easy as I thought it would be. It was going to be a challenge. I struggled to pray this prayer every day, sometimes ignoring it, which is hard to do when it's taped up on my bathroom mirror. But it's like that pile of laundry that nags at you. Even if you try to avert your eyes, you know it's there. Some days, I asked Sebi, our 9-year-old, to come and read it with me because I couldn't do it by myself. So while all of this was happening, I was waiting for Grace to confirm my sermon topic. And when her email came, I saw the series title, Commissioned in Chaos. And then right next to my name, Mary, this line was assigned to me. Grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. Want to know what I did? I shut my laptop and walked out of the room, straight to the living room to Jesus, and I said, guess what my sermon is supposed to be about? And then I told him, and I said, no. So Grace, if you're in the room, I'm sorry I didn't respond right away. I saw your email. I even saw Nathan and Kevin reply. And I even thought, wow, Grace created a really great series. I just needed a moment. I needed to understand, like, why are both my arms, or my hands and my arms and my whole body pushing this away? And I had to pause long enough for my gut reaction to calm down so that I could understand why. And here's what I realized. This is a hard prayer to pray. Does anyone feel the same out there? Those of you who have started this, thank you. It's not just a prayer to help with a circumstance or situation, like, Jesus, please help me find a job that I'll love. It's not just a prayer for God to move or change something, like, Jesus, I'm so stressed about this project, like, can you help move the deadline or get a few better people on my team? The prayer of St. Francis is not a prayer for God to fix something out there. The prayer of St. Francis is asking God to make something happen in here. Not out there, but in here, in me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. I mean, the words are right in his prayer. Make me. Grant that I. It's about something that starts with me. It has been challenging for me to pray this prayer because the prayer asks something of me. It requires something from me. And honestly, I wasn't sure if I was ready for that. But as I wrestled with it, as I started to prepare for this message, I began to sense that maybe this is exactly where God wanted to meet me. So this morning, I want to share what I'm learning, what God's been inviting me to notice, and how this prayer might open us up to experience him in deeper ways. Let me pray. Lord, meet us this morning and make us aware of your presence. Use my words to speak to everyone in this room in the way that they need to hear you. When chaos swirls around us, give us peace and clarity in you. Amen. So our Sunday morning teaching series is called Commissioned in Chaos. It's inspired by the stories of the early church, people who faced persecution, confusion, and fear, and yet still chose to love others because of what they had experienced of Jesus. And in doing so, they experienced amazing movements of God. And here we are, centuries later, still trying to live in that same commission, that same instruction of our faith to love others, while in the midst of our own chaos, at home, in schools, workplaces, personal relationships, and the greater world around us. And in the spaces we occupy, the prayer of St. Francis gives us guidance on how to engage. And this morning, we will focus on this line of the prayer. Grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. Now let's first define understanding with the help of the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs is often referred to as a book of wisdom in the Bible. It gives instruction about how to apply our knowledge with practical action to live out our faith in meaningful and moral ways. There's an excellent video on the Bible Project that gives a clear explanation of Proverbs, and I highly recommend it. So Proverbs 18:2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. So the Hebrew word for understanding is teinuva. It means deep, thoughtful insight. So it's not just head knowledge, but a heart wisdom that comes from careful listening and reflection. A fool is not just someone who's like kind of silly or not very smart. A fool is someone who rejects wisdom, someone who refuses to listen, refuses to learn. And they don't care about this deeper understanding or listening or growing in their heart wisdom. A fool just wants to unload what's on their minds. Now, if I'm honest, it hits a little close to home because my default is to jump in with comments and opinions rather than to listen, rather than ask questions. Like, I know stuff. And I often feel the need to chime in about the stuff that I know, especially with my husband and kids. But I don't want to be a fool. The words of the prayer of St. Francis steer me in a different direction. It is a prayer that God would change me, change my heart, my actions. It is a prayer it's a prayer to move my focus from myself to others. And if I let the wisdom of Proverbs 18:2 lead me, I learn that seeking understanding, like getting to this place of deep and thoughtful insight, that would actually lead to joy and delight. Grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. We probably all know what it feels like to want to be understood, for others to have teinuva, deep, insightful knowledge about us. It's that deep desire for someone to get us, to know our heart, to know our perspective, to know our story. And this desire is a good thing. We were created to be in relationship with each other. We were created to know each other, to understand each other. We feel cared for and loved when people get us, don't we? Feels good to be understood. Can you recall a time when you felt understood? When you have felt known and seen? So a few months ago, after the Sunday service, when Brad, Michelle, and Leslie announced that they would be leaving our church, Jesus and I split up to gather our kids. We have three of them. And when we met out front, he asked, "Hey, did Jesse find you? He was looking for you. He was worried about you." Now, Jesse is our teenager, so moments like this don't happen that much right now. But when he found me, he had a look of concern on his face, and he said, "Are you okay, Mama? Are you sad, Mama? Because they told us at youth group that Pastor Michelle is leaving." In that moment, my teenager showed he knows me. He has paid attention. He has listened to my sharing. He has deep, insightful knowledge of what Michelle means to me and was aware of how this news would affect me. I felt so absolutely cared for in this moment. This moment is significant because it shows the connection that Jesse and I have in our relationship. It gives me hope to hold on to, which is important when one has teenagers in the home, that our relationship continues to grow. I think we all desire and embrace the feeling of being understood. And on the flip side, I think when we are not understood, we may feel pain, loneliness, hopelessness, sadness, frustration, anger. Do you resonate? When our desire to be understood is not met, this creates a hole. And in this hole, in this area of need, I believe this is what St. Francis is addressing with this prayer. As people who love and follow Jesus, we are called, we are commissioned into the world to do what we are able to do to fill these holes. And while I don't love holes, because it shows something is missing, I think there's so much opportunity here. I think there's so much that we can experience in these holes because it's space for God to move, for us and others around us to experience Jesus' love and care. Now, let me say this. I don't believe that St. Francis, in his prayer, disregards our desire and longing to be understood. I don't think it's in his intent to say, get rid of that. But rather, I think it's an invitation. There's an invitation here to ask God to make us aware of the spaces where we can move towards someone to grow in our understanding of that person's story. So there's a story in the book of John, from John 4, where Jesus meets a woman at a well. It is the middle of the day, no one else is around, it's really hot, and she is alone. Now, because of the cultural norms of the time, we know that her isolation from others is because of her life, her lifestyle. And with that, she carries a lot of shame. And Jesus, he doesn't start by addressing her circumstances, but instead starts with a question. Will you give me something to drink? He engages her with a need that he has. That one question breaks open a conversation that goes so, so deep. And he listens as she shares her story, her pain, her truth. And he doesn't judge or condemn her. He receives her story. He holds her story. And when she's done, he offers her true contentment. She's stunned. No one has ever given her this kind of attention. Is that me or is that up here? Can't keep going? Okay, thanks. So she's stunned. No one has ever given her this kind of attention. No one has ever treated her this way. No one has really understood her before. And that encounter changes everything. She runs back to her village, calling out to everyone, come and meet the man who knows everything about me. He has changed my life. He won her heart through understanding. And that woman experienced God's love and acceptance. Something in her was healed and restored that day. And that's the kind of understanding St. Francis is praying for. The kind that sees someone with compassion, the kind that shows care, the kind that offers acceptance before jumping in with judgments and directives. Now imagine what can happen when we move toward each other, toward others in this way. When we try to understand where they're coming from, what's underneath. When we do, I think it could change our thoughts, our opinions, our conclusions. I think it could change the choices we make, the actions we take, and the things that we say. When we seek to understand, we can respond with compassion and care, because we really see the other person. We want to meet them where they are. We can make meaningful and deep connections with others, like Jesus did with the woman at the well. We can all be a part of someone's healing restoration. And wouldn't that be amazing? So our 11-year-old, Angel and I, started a new thing together this year. Tackle football. So I'm not playing, he's playing, and I'm an assistant coach. And if you guys are interested, there's a game this Saturday, talk to me after. We love fans at the games. But we're both loving it. We love being on the field, we love everything about it. And I am really enjoying a lot of things about coaching this season. One thing I am really appreciating is that I'm on a coaching staff that really cares about the players. I'm in an environment that is really trying to hold an understanding posture towards the kids. So at the beginning of the season, the head coach said, S&T are coming from pretty rough home situations. I want us to be aware of that, because if they have attitude, if they come in, you know, we know there's more going on than just what's happening here on the football field. Don't yell at them, don't respond in anger, but talk to them. Try to encourage them, try to help them redirect the energy onto the field. So S was regularly showing up at practices and games, either late or missing gear or not showing up at all. We found out that he experiences a lot of instability, including not knowing how he was going to get to practices and games. So as this is an 11-year-old kid, right, he can't drive himself, and the field is 7 miles from his apartment. So I thought to myself, I could offer him some stability, but I hesitated. Because honestly, giving him rides would have a direct impact on me and my family. It would add 20 to 30 minutes per trip, which meant Angel would have to be in the car for double the time, and he would go to bed even later in the day. Practice ends at 8. It also meant that I would have less time with my other kids, with my husband, and for myself. But I really felt God nudging me to offer. And when I mentioned the idea to Angel, Angel agreed right away and said, "It's good that we can give him a ride, Mama. That's really good." So on our car rides, we would have conversations about school, sports, family. It warmed my heart to hear him and Angel talk about silly and then more serious things. Their friendship grew. I watched Angel's compassion and empathy grow as he learned more about his new friend who had such a different experience at home than he does. S's posture toward me became softer and more open. So I was right. Giving S rides has had an impact on me and my family, but in a different way. I was focused on what I might be giving up and the added burden to our day. I was not thinking at all about what we could gain. Angel and I have both experienced delight in understanding as our connection grew with S. I'm watching my 11-year-old like grow in his care for another person. My prayer is that God would use our time in the car to show S that he matters, that he's seen, that he's loved. All right. This is one of the ways that I am commissioned in chaos, a way that God has granted that I don't seek to be understood, but to understand. This is one way that he has moved my focus from myself to someone else and has given me a very practical way to respond. How might God be stirring in you to move towards someone in understanding? What is God inviting you into? How are you being commissioned in chaos? Is it with a classmate? Is it with a child around discipline and boundaries? Is it with a partner about shared responsibilities? Is it with a lonely or irksome neighbor? Is it with a coworker, a friend, or someone with different civic and political views? As you consider where you might be commissioned in chaos, I'd like to offer a few suggestions on how you can engage. Pray the prayer of St. Francis and pay attention to what stirs, what bothers, what excites you. You could do this alone or with someone. Journal about it. Talk to Jesus about it. And in a moment, Becky will come up and lead us through to experience the prayer together. And I encourage you to participate and be open, even if it might feel uncomfortable. Ask God to bring a person or situation to mind where you can take a step forward in understanding. What is a step you can take to seek understanding with this person or in this situation? Maybe you could talk to a trusted person who can help you think about how to move in that space. Pray for a heart that cares. Sometimes I think our hearts just need to soften toward another person. Ask God to help you see the person the way as he sees them. Ask questions, not to debate, but to genuinely hear. Right, my pet peeve is when someone like says to me, hey, how are you doing? And then when I start to answer, they're already like 10 feet away. Don't do that, please. Ask when you are able to listen. And when you want to listen, when you have time to be present to the person that you're talking to. You could use phrases like, tell me more about that. Help me understand what it's like for you. Remember Proverbs 18:2. Don't be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. All right, when the urge to just unload, air your opinions rises, ask, how can I seek to be understood? How can I seek to understand? When we pray the prayer of St. Francis, we are asking God to start within us, to form us to be a part of the healing and restoration of the world around us. As our understanding grows, relationships deepen, meaningful action can be taken, and we experience more of God together. O Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be understood as to understand.